This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
So from the RTDNA website comes the article, Journalism's Age of Shoddy, Reporting Rumors Now the Norm. It's by former TV news director Forrest Carr. He says, think what our society would look like if there were no place where citizens could learn whether the rumors they're hearing are true or whether the loud opinions that assault their ears from all quarters are grounded in any sense of logic or reality. And Jasmine, this article really seemed to strike a chord with you.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Forrest wrote this article because it's something that I am struggling with as a teacher teaching journalism, broadcast journalism to students. They're so used to reporting on rumors now. And it's something that it's not just, you know, rookies who are having this issue. It's the field in general. We have people going out and reporting rumors, just like Gabby Giffords. She was not dead when so many places were reporting that she was. And that was a rumor mill that became fact for so many hours. That kind of thing is so prevalent now. And it's because people are not going through and double, triple checking and not confirming information. A simple tweet or a Facebook post is not confirmation of something happening. And I think a lot of people in this business are forgetting that.
Well, do you think that's in part because so many students, I believe, are into sports now and sports journalism seems to thrive on rumor mongering, trade rumors, rumors of this, that, the other thing. There was a recent one involving the Blackhawks and one of their players, rumors that he was carrying on with women besides his wife, and mainstream reporters felt they had to ask him about it because a blogger had posted this large article about it. So part of that perhaps comes from the world of sports?
Yeah, I mean, it may have started or it happens a lot there, but I see it all over the place. It's in breaking news now and spot news. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I mean, when you mentioned sports, there's a case that was just in the paper about a football player who allowed the rumor to be spread by his agent that he'd signed with one team, then turned around and signed for more money. So he used the rumors through the reporters at ESPN and sports to actually get a better deal. This shows, he's smart. He got more money. But same time, it shows how, what tools these guys, double meaning there, are, how they're being used by agents and by these players for their own means.
By PR people or
by
spin
PR
doctors.
Spin doctors. What this does, too, it also reminds me of something. I mean, when I was in journalism school, there was a phrase that I had a professor who he had it on a sign on the wall. It said, never assume anything. And people don't do that anymore. Our students don't sometimes. Mm-hmm. They assume a lot.
Wow.
And so you're always having to say, wait, don't assume that's true. Don't assume something simple like you know how to spell their name because it's John. Well, think of all the ways.
Yeah, I said exactly that just today in lecture.
Okay.
It's funny you say that, but this is what we deal with because there are lots of assumptions that people make and they assume that, something's going to happen. And so they put it in a story. And I've had to, talk to people and say, did you get this from anyone or is this coming from you? And they say, I just thought this would happen. I'd say, okay, so I need to take that out of your story because this we can't report that. That's not fact. That's you thinking something's going to happen. But that's not what will happen. We don't know. And I have to make that differentiation. I have to explain it a lot. But it's not just with students. I mean, it's happening more and more out there. And we are becoming just this rumor monger.
It's interesting, Rich, that you mentioned names because I've always asked people to spell their first name and last name, even though it's radio. Because it would just bother me if I saw a name misspelled in a script, even though no one else would see it. Now, of course, with multimedia platforms, we also need to. I mean, we have to know how to spell someone's name correctly.
For your web.
Yeah.
And there's no way to ruin your credibility faster than to have the name of someone you're interviewing wrong in a story.
Right. If you spell it wrong or you pronounce it incorrectly, that person will always remember you couldn't get that simple detail correct. And that will call into question, at least in their mind, your other reporting.
Yeah.
Do either of you feel rumors can serve a purpose sometimes to try and force information to get out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, rumors are where you start with stories, but you don't initially...
You don't put that on the air.
But you don't put that on the air. I mean, we had to... I remember my last day at Fox in Las Vegas, we heard about Michael Jackson dying.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't confirm that. We ended up hearing it first from TMZ, right? Now, back in 2009, TMZ, and well, you know, still TMZ's looked at like, well, we're not really sure. But especially back in 09, TMZ was not necessarily something that we trusted for information. So we had to wait for another media source to confirm it before we, the local Fox affiliate, would end up going on air. So we held it for a couple hours, knowing we thought it happened, but we weren't entirely sure. So we held that information. The same thing when Whitney Houston died. We had to get that confirmed. You know, that kind of information. You're not going to go on air with a rumor. However, some people do. Some stations
sure.
do that.
And I'm thinking of a local case when you mentioned those. And I think that's commendable that you didn't or your station didn't. We had a situation a few years ago where there was a shooter at Farm King. Rich, I know, covered
sure.
it. We had a person who knew somebody who knew this guy who turned out to be. We had a name. We knew the name at the Courier. The students had the name. And they said, oh, can we put it on the website? I said, no. You know, we don't know if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody who says that they know this guy, and they, you know, and it's definitely him. But it was a friend of a friend type thing,
yeah.
And that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if that information had been wrong and you had gone with it, you pretty much could have been sued out of existence.
Oh, exactly. So that's why you don't want to do it. And you know, and this is obviously we're talking about a student newspaper, but you do see this. I wonder sometimes would a mainstream media person, they get a name, it's like, well, let's go ahead and run with it. You know, they have libel insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worried about that. And then they can retract it later. And I think that's the danger that we're seeing.
If they do.
Is the kind of like it's always easier to apologize than to get beat by somebody else, some other media outlet that is going to break the news before you do. And then you look foolish. And that is obviously the, you know, what this article is getting to is this whole age of not double checking.
How do you both feel about the idea that a celebrity gossip, rumor-mongering organizations such as TMZ will occasionally break the story and have it correct?
I'm not surprised because they have so many people they employ in that area, in that Hollywood area. They have people that are paid to just follow these celebrities mm-hmm. around. This is why they're always the first on the scene because they're usually right behind celebrity.
And they pay people for information, which mainstream media generally doesn't. So
we shouldn't.
And shouldn't. So
it's actually the way the old supermarket rag, the National Enquirer, I don't know if it's still even in existence, but they used to pay really well.
Yeah.
And they would get good journalists, and a lot of it looked like a bunch of malarkey, but they were able to get some stuff, and they had very good journalists working for them.
Again, you would remember, I think it was one of those tabloids that broke the Gary Hart story, that he was cheating.
Monkey business
and all that. That wasn't mainstream. That was first broken, you know, in the Enquirer. So, yeah, you throw enough cash at people, you're going to once in a while get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not journalism. I don't know what it is, but it's not journalism. It's gossip.
Yeah, and the rush to be first is I think, has really hurt journalism. And I think that's why we see believability ratings. When people, Pew goes and they mm-hmm. do that research, they find that the audience is just losing credibility. I mean, media is losing credibility. They just don't believe what we're saying, and that's because there are so many rumors being reported.
And, you know, it's a weird thing because I like being the first with a story, yet if I step back and think about it, who in the audience really cares? A week later, who cares that you were the first one with a particular story? Nobody remembers that for the most part.
That's very true.
For the most part. I know that Forrest here, he discusses that they held the Gabby Giffords information. They didn't go with it because they couldn't get it confirmed that she was dead. And there were people in the audience accusing their station of withholding that information. Even a week or two after the fact, when that station ended up being right, that she was not dead, there were still people in the audience saying, hey, why didn't you report it? Everyone else was. Why did you withhold this from us if this is what may have been true? And the thing is, we're not supposed to report that if we can't confirm it's true. That is what our job is. We're supposed to confirm this information.
It is true that we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.